Galatians chapter 6, commencing verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, calling all Canadians back to the Bible to know the blessings of gospel peace in this troubled world. The world is a troubled place, and all notions of peace promised by the world are an illusion. They are, in fact, a lie, for they are never backed up. Without the Bible, no one ever knows the wonderful, genuine, and enduring peace that the Lord Jesus gives to believers. One of the cardinal hopes held out by Christianity is peace of soul. The gospel is God's good news to sinners, because peace is offered and enjoyed. This is true, and it's genuine peace, because the Lord is the source of the believer's peace. The Lord Jesus is our peace because the Lord promises to give us His own peace. Read John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. What a concept, peace as a gift. It is not the peace of men, nor of our own making. The promise is not like a New Year's resolution or having a talk with yourself to pull up your socks and do better. This peace is a promise given by the promise keeper, and he will not fail you. You can pray for peace on the basis of this promise. The Lord will maintain his own honor by honoring his promises. You can hold him to it, and you can plead this promise for your life and walk in this world. Also, the Lord Jesus is our peace, because the Lord always dwells in peace. He is the Son of God. He never was at war with his Father, but always kept sweet communion with God. The eternal bliss that was between Father and Son in heaven was constantly maintained on earth. Every day, the angels sang the songs of peace. There was continual delight between Father and Son at Bethlehem when he was born. so that the angels sang and stirred up the shepherds to sing their hallelujahs to God. Jesus always brings a hallelujah to God, and he puts that hallelujah into the hearts of his people. He gives that same delight and pours it into our souls. No matter what is happening all around us in this world, the Lord will keep his promise to minister peace to our souls. Again, the Lord Jesus is our peace because at the cross, the Lord promised this peace for his people. Again, the Lord Jesus is our peace because at the cross, the Lord purchased this peace for his people. All the references in the Bible to Jesus being the Prince of Peace, the Peacemaker, or Peace Giver, finds their proofs at the cross of Calvary. The Lord, who ever delighted in the Father, and in whom the Father ever delighted, was smitten at Calvary. God smote him, and Jesus took the punishment for sin. Jesus cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The unthinkable happened when God's justice smote the Son, as if he were a transgressor, and made him to feel forsaken of God. What was happening? Jesus was making peace for sinners through the blood of the cross. The death of Christ at Calvary was the peacemaker paying the price to cancel out the sins of men so that sinners are reconciled to God. Jesus' death at Calvary was the greatest peace mission ever known. Jesus went to Calvary to face the very fires of hell, to endure God's curse due to sinners, that they might have peace with God. That peacemaking mission demanded an all-worthy sacrifice to render full payment for sin unto God. And the wonderful thing is that the work was done. The price was paid and peace was made. God accepted the offering and raised his Son from the dead. Preachers of the gospel are to preach peace to sinners through faith in the blood of the Son of God, for his blood was shed to make peace by satisfying all the demands of God's holy and righteous standard of his law. When you see yourself as miserable, condemned by sin, to the point of fearing eternal hell, this message of peace becomes the sweetest music to your ears. I can have peace with God, you say? The blood of Jesus guarantees that I can have fellowship with God, and Jesus gives this peace as his gift to a sinner like me? Yes, and that becomes your hallelujah. Well, let's leave our subject there today, and tomorrow we'll take a fresh look at the Lord's peace is everlasting. I give you my Bible challenge to go to the book of John, read the narrative of Jesus' life and his death, then go to the book of Romans, read the explanation. What was accomplished? How did Jesus triumph that he can give such peace to sinners, and you will not be disappointed. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and once again we bring to you the message of God's Word. I hope that you have been encouraged and that today you'll stay with us as we go to this text in Galatians 6:15. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the rallying cry of the born-again believer, of the one who is trusting in Calvary alone. We have nothing else, no other boast, no other claim. It is the only hope that is born within us. And I hope that today this will become your hope. So stay tuned as today we let the Bible speak.
Would you pray as I preach today that we might have prepared hearts, that we might take this cup and bread today as communicants, as believers in the Lord Jesus, in a true spiritual gospel manner. And I think the word gospel gets to the heart of the issue. Paul said in this text, God forbid that I should glory. That means to boast or brag. God forbid, don't let it ever be that I should brag or boast in anything apart from the cross of the Lord Jesus. We believe today that Calvary was the defining hour of world history. Prior to that, men were saved by looking forward to the death of the Son of God, the Messiah. We, since Calvary, are saved by looking back at the accomplishment, the completed sacrifice that Jesus offered upon that tree. And every Bible gospel preacher is called upon to declare all the worth and value of that sacrifice that Jesus offered upon that cross. And here lies the battle. The true Bible preacher will insist he must preach the cross and nothing else as God's way of salvation. Paul found that there were those in his days that resisted, and they were hesitant, and they held back from preaching the cross. Why? Because it brought persecution. And so they resorted to ceremonies and to rites. It's happening today in Canada. Across this nation, there are many people who might call themselves Christians, and they are going to church services. But the central message of the cross is missed, and people are deceived by rites and ceremonies as sufficient. But those who love the cross of Calvary, who cling to it with all their hearts, they insist that you can only get to heaven by faith in that work Jesus did upon the tree in those few hours in AD 33. They join the apostle to say, God forbid that I should boast, save or accept in the cross of Christ. To them, it's the only thing that counts for eternity. And to such believers, the cross is everything, and everything else is as nothing. Paul rallied Christians to defend and stand upon the cross of Christ. And we refer to such believers as cross bearers. Now, if you are taking communion today, and you can see my two little cups there of juice and bread sitting there, and I hope that you have brought yours along as well, because this is how we are forced to conduct communion in these times. And if you are prepared to take communion, you must also be a willing, ready cross-bearer with your faith in what the Lord Jesus accomplished at that cross. And I want to take up with you today in this message that will be not that long, but I hope that you will find it strong, the subject of faith in the cross. How important. God forbid that I should boast, save in the cross. You will see here that faith in the cross is an attitude. Paul had an attitude in his faith on the cross. He took the cross to his heart, and that message burned in his breast. It made him red hot for the whole event of Calvary. You dare not oppose the cross in Paul's presence. You dare not suggest to him, oh, but there are other ways to heaven. If Jesus had never come and died upon that cross, men would still get to heaven other ways. Paul would say, God forbid that we should boast in anything else than the cross. Faith in the cross says that the world is under God's curse. Because when Jesus went to the cross, he became a curse for us. Galatians 3:13 tells us that everyone that hangeth upon a tree is cursed. And that's why our Lord was executed, put to death on a cross, a tree. It was a stake raised upright on which his body hung. And there, with the crown of thorns upon his head, a picture of shame and agony, our Lord Jesus took the curse of sin upon himself. The ground was cursed in the day that Adam and Eve sinned, and the thorns are a symbol of that curse. Death reigns worldwide. If you go to a travel agent and you say, I want to travel to the other side of the world and explore, they will tell you, well, you need to prepare by getting immunized for this virus and that virus. And now we have COVID-19, and it's everywhere around the world. It's the mark of the curse, of the sentence of death that is upon the human race. And our Lord Jesus went to the cross to be a curse for us. Faith in the cross also says that I am carnal. I want you to look at verse 12 in this chapter. As many as desire to make a show in the flesh. Now that's those who run from the cross. That's those who will not accept that the cross is the only way by which a sinner can be saved. They make a fair show in the flesh. And we admit that by nature we are carnal. We do not trust in the flesh. But the cross, by its very demeanor, by its very shame, it renounces the pride of man. And that sight of the cross condemns me, for it tells me that God had to find some other way to save my soul. Another way from the way of my flesh, my doing, my strength, my willpower, my ability, my accomplishments. All of those things we are to renounce. Faith in the cross says that Christ was crucified for me. Faith in the believer sees the Lord hanging on the cross as if only for you. And that was you nailed with the Savior to the tree. Christ took my place. John Bunyan, in his Pilgrim's Progress, he wrote these immortal words. Thus far did I come laden with my sin, nor could aught ease the grief that I was in. Till I came hither, what a place is this! Must here be the beginning of my bliss. Must hear the burden fall from off my back. Must hear the strings that bound me to me crack. Blessed cross, blessed sepulchre, blessed rather be the man that was put to shame for me. And that's the attitude of faith. That's the expression of the believer as we dwell and meditate upon the cross. The cross is also God's complete remedy for salvation. I cannot boast in anything else because nothing else can lead me all the way into glory. Nothing else can buy my peace with God. Nothing else can wash away my sins but the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. If you read Galatians 5 and verses 1 through 7, and because it's vital and important, let's just do that. Galatians 5 verse 1. Stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now that yoke of bondage is works of religion, or religion of works. That yoke of bondage is man saying, I'll do it my way. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. Where do you find grace? Where do you find mercy? Where do you find God's riches at Christ's expense? At the cross, where he died for sinners and gave himself up. And we are forbidden to trust, believe, or put our confidence in anything else. It was there that Jesus offered a complete and a total salvation. Now we come not just to the attitude of faith in the cross, but we want to come to the appropriation of faith in the cross. Appropriation simply means how to make it mine. It's one thing to read that Jesus died, that's history. But to read that Jesus died for me, that's the gospel. So how do I make his cross work mine? Where we are to glory in it. Boast or brag? Glory. Shout it out. We unashamedly make the cross our single note of victory over sin and hell. And I boast in the cross when I appropriate it to my life. And I testify of its saving power in my life. Faith will not be silent. It's not a dead faith, but it will be known for its life and hope. The convert to Christ who has known the power of the cross in his life pardoning will know that his sins are forgiven and rejoice in them. And will tell and speak it out. When Jesus saved the wild man with the demon, he said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. And we have a great story to tell as Christians. Christ died on that cross for me. And in our public worship today, we take this opportunity of displaying that faith. We make it known. We don't hide it. We rejoice together that the Lord suffered on that cross for us. I appropriate the cross when I keep the cross foremost in my worship. When I sing and pray of the personal cleansing of Jesus' blood that he shed on the cross. When you turn that cross work into your singing or your boasting, your rejoicing, and when you do so in your praying, you are receiving and taking that cross work to yourself, appropriating it personally. And with a sense of our own personal defilement, I go again to the cross and again to the cross to be washed. I come to church to boast. On the surface, that sounds wrong, to come to church to boast. But we're not boasting in our own pride. We're not boasting in our riches or our heritage or our nationality or our denomination. We're not boasting in men. We are boasting in the Redeemer who gave himself upon that cross for our salvation. And I appropriate the cross when I hide under it in hours of temptation. The cross is not just a token thing to the believer. It is a mighty weapon. It's a weapon that we wield when we are under temptation. Now, temptation is a real power against the Christian. The devil seeks to bring us down. He has many ways of deceiving and destroying. And the cross slays the lust within us. The cross slays deceit within us. It even puts to death laziness within us. And it stirs our hearts to rest in the victory of Calvary. And when you feel the power of temptation in your heart and in your life to follow the world and follow the ways of sin, run to the cross, run to Calvary, plead the victory of Jesus' work upon that tree, and say, Lord, save me from this temptation. Deliver me from its power by the victory of Jesus' death.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, call me free of charge from anywhere in Canada at 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.